form of service work, you know, 1,700 miles to speak. So that's my spiritual ticket's punched to a certain degree already. But no, grateful to be here. Sobriety date's 12/31/06. So just celebrated 17 years, and it's been a good run. Yeah, no, thank you. It's much more about God, the steps in you guys, than it is me. But I have been shown a way of service, you know, that's led to a bunch of continuous days of sobriety and given me some contentment, you know, something that I was sorely lacking, to say the least, when I came in here. And it was pretty ugly, you know, at the end of it. I do have a home group too, Camden 12-step. We meet 7 days a week. Monday night, beginners meeting is a big one. So Camden, Maine, if you're ever there, I would love to have you. I got a sponsor. I sponsor a few guys back home. So been in the deal. Pretty well plugged in the whole time. I did a couple years in and out, you know, kind of one foot in, one foot out. And realized that I don't have much of a grace period when it comes to, you know, coasting without staying right in the middle of this and keeping service as the forefront, on the forefront. I was a blackout drinker right from the get-go, just to qualify briefly. Grew up in a small island, little fishing village and off the coast of Maine, you know, big emphasis on work, working hard, playing hard, and, you know, do-it-yourself-ism, and it all fed right into, you know, where my mind was at, because I loved to work, and once I picked up the booze, and, you know, I loved to drink, and they went hand in hand, and things, you know, didn't take long to get pretty ugly. Like I said, blackout drinker, there's no public transportation, so I was drinking and driving a lot. Had three OURs, or Deweys, you might call them, down, before I was 21, and the writing was definitely on the wall. But it was. There was some fun and games for a bit, and then it went all to hell. Excuse my French, and ended up in the back. It was middle of winter. I'd been up for a few days with some other stuff, kind of fueling my alcoholism. Been on a bender, and was out in the backwoods shooting. I had a 40 caliber and was firing off at trees, but I thought they were people, and 911 got called, and yeah, it was just, it was, yeah, there was absolutely no fun that night, that's for sure. The cops showed up, and there was a gun, and yeah, no, it was. It went from, carefree, drinking and drugging, and, you know, life of the party and all that, to, yeah, pretty small circle, and just useless, you know, worthless existence, you know. It was all about myself, and definitely come to find out that, you know, when I'm all wrapped up in myself, I'm a pretty small package. I heard one of the guys say back home, you know, and that, so I don't know. I got this idea that I needed something to change. There needed to be a shift. It occurred through the 12 steps, essentially, that gave me the bedrock, the foundation to navigate through whatever life threw at me. But when I first came in the door, I was told that, you know, yeah, maybe you don't have a message to carry, but you got, you know, you can stand up, you can pick up a chair, you can make a pot of coffee, you can do some of these simple things that I heard a lot of other people who had long-term sobriety and seemed to be pretty content, you know, with their life. They had done and were still doing, you know, and that was where my journey with service worked. I started, looking at myself in this video here, a little weird, you know, not a big fan of mirrors and all that stuff, but no. That's where it started, and I did. I got fired up, you know, and I was a part of, you know, just by default, because I'm lone wolf, you know, keep you at arm's distance, you know, if I have anything to say about it, and being the opener, you know, totally got rid of that whole idea. I got to be a part of, I was beaten down enough, so I was willing to do about anything, and I did. I started to form some of these relationships and connections that I so sorely lacked and just had no real comprehension of, and it was kind of like the little breadcrumbs, you know, along the way. I started having genuine conversations and getting these belly laughs kind of before and after the meeting and with the people that I was setting up with. And there was, it just started to flow. And I don't know, I got that little spark of hope and just the shift in my thinking. It was a 180, because it went from, you know, prior to coming in here and hearing about the idea that I need to give it away to keep it, and that there's beauty and service and whatnot. My thinking was I need to get, and if I'm able to obtain enough stuff, then I'll arrive at this place. Thank you. And I'll be okay, and maybe I'll be able to breathe easy and find some of those moments like I had early on, you know, when the drinking still worked for me. That was one of the first times when I was like, all right, my thinking about getting, you know, is a totally bass backwards, and you guys have a different idea for me. So that was one of the old ideas that I smashed early on, and it wasn't by, you know, figuring things out or contemplating it or whatever. It was by taking action and setting up chairs and whatnot. And yeah, I got fired up about that. And then, you know, I allowed a man to be of service to me and sponsored me and got me into the book and got me charged up about that. And I learned my truth about, you know, alcoholism and my history and, you know, all the whole deal, the beauty that the 12 steps is available or offers for anybody. I got to experience that, and then I was able to carry some sort of a message, because I did. Those first couple years, I came in and out, I did that two-step thing, like 1 in 12, my life's unmanageable, let me share it with you kind of deal, you know, and that didn't work well. So, you know, I recognized that, hey, well, let's work all 12, and then I had something to offer, and I still live in that same fishing community, and, you know, it's an epidemic, and people are, you know, pretty strung out and busted up by this booze deal, and I've been able to be there for them when they roll in, and it is. I've come to find that this is my salvation, this service to others, and, you know, this kind of loose-knit definition of love is like selfless service to my fellows, and something that has kept me charged up about this deal. And I remember, a guy told me early on, it was coming back from this, you know, what I hope is the last relapse, but he talked about, he had like 15 years at the time, and he said something about like, yeah, the last 12 years of my sobriety is hinged on being of service to others. And I just couldn't even wrap my mind around it. I was like, what? It's not about getting the boat or the truck, the woman, this and that, and nothing to do with that. And I get it now. I get it. And that's been my calling card for a while. I take meetings into the local jail and the rehabs and whatnot, and I don't know, basically it's just a beautiful antidote for my selfishness, you know, to be of service, because I do. I wake up just fired up about me and my plans for the day and, you know, how can I best run the show. And then there's a little shift when I start praying and do those five things, or start the five things that you hear about in here, and then it's more about what can I contribute to this, you know, to get into the mainstream. And I don't know, I mean, I haven't arrived to sainthood, not ready to open my own church anytime soon by any stretch, you know, but I've definitely found some peace, and like I got charged up from the drinking and the drugs and the big payday and the boatload of lobsters and this and that, but it literally pales in comparison to the fear, the joy, like the legit, just, I don't know, wholeness that I feel when I'm of service, and when I'm in that moment and just charged up and enthusiastic about being of service and giving back in whatever form, whether it's, you know, driving all the way down here to talk from Maine. No, just kidding. I was down here anyway. Hit Terry up and it worked out. But whatever it looks like, it's a gift. I recognize it as a gift. And it's not like I have to be of service. I get to. And that was my text to Terry. Thanks for the opportunity, you know. And whether or not, you know, I help anybody, there's a pretty good chance I'm going to stay sober tonight, you know. And I don't know. I'm, I'm looking forward to more of it. And I got a sponsor who's 40 years plus, and he's all fired up still to this day, still works with a lot of guys, still, I drag him into the jail once in a while, he's got his hearing aids tuned in, and things are weird, and it's kind of choppy, but he's still does it, man. And, you know, so I'm like, okay, I got a ways to go, you know, and like, there's no, this service to others and, you know, spiritual enlightenment and all that, it doesn't have a ceiling. I hated running out of stuff back in the day, and I still do now, but I was told that there's no cap here, and, you know, I can keep trying to be some sort of a conduit for, you know, the God that I've come to understand to a certain degree, and my fellows, and in the meantime, I'm going to stay sober and, you know, potentially have a pretty good run, so that's pretty close to my 10, so thanks for listening.